Hey there, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Hi, kitty. So how are you, Brian?
Oh, I'm here, yeah.
Yes, and Brian Sant is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, nice of you to recognize that.
Yes, of course. How are you?
Same old, same old.
Yeah, work still kicking your butt? Not good, huh?
Well, I can't say that to you, though.
Well, no, the effort of finding work is kicking my butt, you know, and I'm just to the point of, well, I don't know. Should I just become homeless, or I don't know what to do.
Move back in with Mom and Dad.
No. Did I tell you they're selling their house?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's on the market.
And where are they going?
They're going to be moving into a two-bedroom, one-bath condo that's being built in Florham Park.
Well, there you go. There's the other bedroom.
Oh, no. That's just like for like, you know, Dad's office / visitors. And
well, you'll be a permanent visitor.
No. With only one bathroom? That's, I feel like, what possesses you people? You've lived in this house in Chatham for all these years with one bathroom. Now was your chance to at least get the other little potty. Get a half a bath. One and a half baths. I don't understand it. And for what they're paying for this condo, you would think you could have an extra potty. But anyway, that's their problem. So that's happening. And
nice.
Good for them. So much for my home. It's just, you know, going away. Grandmother's in and out of the hospital. Now they found cancer and these lumps under her jaw and on her neck, and they don't know if they can operate, and she's got congestive heart failure. And
just a barrel of good news today.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, it's like, welcome to my world. But so, yeah, you know. And, of course, anyone that could croak is never got any money they could leave me, you know, and my family. It's like, here's Uncle Danny, the great Uncle Danny, oil baron. Yeah. And he has like five daughters. Wonderful. So there goes all that money, you know. So anyway. I don't know. I still have a very yeah, exactly. Just shoot me. Anyway, so it's now May 2nd. Don't forget to vote for our show on podcastalley.com. The link is on our homepage of njghs.net as well as the Deadline page. Now, I have a little treat for everybody tonight. Well, this week, whenever you listen to this show. Remember we were talking about Brian having possibly a Scorpio influence, and he wanted to have his chart done. So now you people have heard me say, hey, if you send in 10 power shares, you get a free natal chart, blah, 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 blah. Well, here you go. I have, see, Brian, it's beautiful color wheel.
Yes.
Okay. We are now going to go over Brian Sant's chart, people. Here's the astrological insight to Brian the King. Okay. Brian, your sun is in Sagittarius, which you knew that, right? That's your sun sign, because you're born... What's your birth date again? December 10th?
Yep.
He's born in Jersey, so he is a Jersey boy, even though now he's transplanted to Pennsylvania. We won't mention that. Anyway, Sagittarius, really fun sign, as you can tell. He is just the effervescent personality we've all come to know and love on the show. But the keynote for Sagittarius is travel and freedom, okay? And, you can turn it up. It's a good song. It kind of supports this whole thing here. But that's your keynote, travel and freedom. You do like to have your freedom. You do like to travel. They say basically with a Sagittarius, they're pretty rough to get to the marriage altar. If you do, they pretty much stay for life. They're pretty good about it, but it's pretty rough to get them there. I've always wondered about you why you were in an office job, because typically Sagittarius do not like to be holed up in an office, and I found out why in your chart. Your rising sign is Aquarius. And Aquarius, those are the people who are the computer geeks and techno geeks and ta-da, NJGHS technician computer geeks. There you go. And it explains why we get along so well, because Aquarius and Sagittarius do get along really well. And then to think, not only are you Sagittarius, but your rising sign is Aquarius. So that's why we get along so well. Sagittarius is inherently intuitive. They have, as children, Sagittarian children really bond with animals. They it's like a life force that they must have a pet. I don't know if you had pets when you were a kid.
had them, but it wasn't like, oh, I gotta have a pet.
Right, but what I'm saying is child Sagittarians tend to, like, they relate to animals at a young age better than they do to other people. They have they're usually a little more reserved or have a harder time around people than they do with animals. But I see it in my son. My younger son's a Sag, and he definitely has to have a pet. He thrives when he has an animal to take care of. Anyway, and they do have, like, that sixth sense type of deal. The, you know, Sagittarians can tend to be very good in terms of theology, metaphysics. They have an intuitive quality. This you'll see. It shows up in your chart, too, as to why you're so drawn to the paranormal studies and stuff. So you get your whole... And you're a fire sign. That's your element. And I think, too, Sagittarius falls into... You're mutable, right? So you're kind of changeable. You can be flexible, you know. Your moon is in Leo. So that makes you...
I was about to say it's cracked.
No. Your moon is in Leo, which gives you a very... And you have all the big text that the computer generates. I'm just giving you my notes and stuff from what
okay.
I know. So your moon's in Leo. That makes you a very warm, affectionate, and generous person. You have to kind of watch that, because emotionally, Leos can be generous to a fault. They sometimes don't even have it to give, and they'll, like, not admit that.
Been there, done that.
And they will actually...
Moved on.
Yeah, and actually go out and borrow, like, you know, like, my grandmother used to do this. My grandmother was a Leo. And, you know, if she saw her daughter, my mother, needed something, she would secretly call Mrs. Mizucci across the street and ask to borrow the money, so that way she could then give it to my mother till my grandmother got paid again to pay back Mrs. Mizucci. I mean, Leos are like that. When they love someone, they're very generous and almost to that fault, to where even if they don't have it, they figure out a way to get it, to give it to you. So yours is in the moon, which is your emotion. So you have to kind of watch, you know, you are a very warm, affectionate, wonderful, caring person, but you can have that also taken advantage of at times if you're not careful. So, got that?
Been there, done that. Moved
yes.
on.
Okay. And like I said, your ascendant, which is your rising sign, is in Aquarius. That explains why you're the tech geek and good with computers. It also gives you a little bit of that rebellious kind of quality, which is good. We like that. We don't want people who just follow the norm. Your Mercury. The Mercury is a planet that rules the mind, so this is how you think. Your Mercury is in Sagittarius, so you even think like a Sag, which is nice, because Sages, by nature, are optimistic, friendly, and you're like the comedian. And that's how you even think. You even, as you can hear, right? You even think. Like, you come out with the jokes, the little comments, but for the most part, you're a pretty friendly, nice guy.
Better be.
And that's how you think. You really think along those lines. You think more in the positive, which is nice. Not that it's working for you, but no. That's how you think. Now, here we get into the whole romance and sex.
Oh,
thing.
Boy. Here we go.
Okay. Venus and Mars.
What
this is
it, black hole?
No. Venus is the planet that governs romance. Mars is, like, I know people say it's a planet, Mars is the god of war, but Mars is also that sex thing. It's like that heavy-duty sex energy, the physical act of sex, whereas Venus
Pluto.
Is the romance. We're getting there. So your Venus is an Aquarius, okay? Which makes you the creative romantic. You have a different approach to romance, and different approach from what people would consider like hearts and flowers as normal. You'll maybe do flowers, but you may send them like once on the same day every week for 3 weeks, or you'll come up with some really neat way to get flowers to a girl. And yet, when you've done a certain approach on a certain woman, you don't do it again on the next one, because even though you found that it maybe worked for that woman, you like to create. You like to take a different romantic approach, which is nice. You do view each woman in her individuality, and you approach in that cause, which is nice. So, you getting that?
Okay.
So you're good. You're a creative romantic, okay? And sometimes it can be a little offbeat, a little odd, you know, in their romantic approach, because that is Aquarius. Aquarius is not, you know, like me, you know, picking up a guy in a hearse for a date is not traditional, but hey, it was a great date. Anyway, so that's the whole romantic thing.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Mars, for you, your Mars planet, Yours is in Libra. So you're someone who has, you can't just have sex for the sake of having sex. I mean, you could, because you are a guy. You are a guy!
I'm a tool! <know. laughs>
But for you, sex is best when you are in love, okay? Because you need to care about the person, you need to connect with that person, you need to feel a partnership with that person. And when you do that, you really have, like, that mind-blowing sex, okay? The other thing you have to kind of watch is a Libra can tend to be a little bit more of, like, seeing this wonderful sexual experience and having these great visions of it and almost feeling left a little flat if, it, you know, the actual act doesn't live up to what you were anticipating, you know? So you have to just...
Well, first I have to get to the act.
Here, let's, like, walk you down memory lane, you know? Amnesia lane. Here we go. Anyway, so that's it. You're better off having sex with someone you really care about or in love with is even better because it's a whole partnership thing because of the Libra. Now, your Jupiter, which is also your ruling planet as Sagittarius, your Jupiter falls in Libra as well. So you do thrive on balance and harmony. You'll have lots of close friends, close pals, because... You like that. You know, you like the balance of having friends and depending on what mood you're in, who you want to hang out with, and if you want to hang out with them at all. But you definitely need that. That's how your expansion and everything. And that's what Sag is all about. The Jupiter influence is expansion. It's optimism. So that's why they're usually pretty happy-go-lucky people. And they're sandwiched in two very kind of depressive signs because you have Scorpio, then you have happy Sag, and then you have woe is me, gloom and doom, Capricorn. So, you know, it's nice that they put such a happy sign in the middle of two negative ones. But, you know, that's where your Jupiter is. It's in Libra. So you really thrive on having your friends, your balance, and harmony. You're not, when there's discord, like among your family or your friends, even though it's, they're not arguing or fighting with you, that discord that's present is, it's a break in the harmony for you, and you don't like that. You want everybody to be happy. Okay? Your Saturn is in Aries. Now, Saturn is a planet that is all about constriction and restriction. You know, it's the ruling planet of Capricorn. Capricorn, the goat with his little horns, those are blinders because he's always very steadfast. And, you know, how the goat climbs the mountain. They're goal-oriented. Caps are very goal-oriented. And so yours... is pretty good. You're lucky because yours falls in Aries, which means if you're going to control or constrain something, Aries is all about impulsivity. So you actually made out pretty well because you're able to control those impulses. You're not a look, you know, like a jump and then look later type of person. You are someone who can, oh, I want to do that. Well, let me think it through. So you're able to, like, pull back for a second and, you know, not just act on an impulse, which is good. And Uranus, again in Libra. You got all this Libra stuff going on, which I hate to say this to you.
Oh, jeez.
But seeing all the Uranus, I mean, seeing all the Libra. Whoa! Strike that.
Seeing all my anus?
No. Come on. I don't need any more therapy. Libra, all the Libra qualities in your chart. And Libra is the sign of marriage and partnership. So you're someone who has this big thing with marriage, even though I know you're very happy living your bachelor pad RS type of lifestyle, but you are also someone who would do really well. I mean, you're happy now, but you would be over the moon happy with settling down with the right person and being just married, okay? Happily married. But you would be happy at it, okay? All right, that's all I'm going to... Okay. Not going to harp on it, just putting it out there, okay? Anyway, so Uranus in Libra, that means you change things to achieve balance. Because Uranus, that is a planet about lightning quick changes. It's it's the major ruling planet of Aquarius. And Aquarians do that. We just, like, you know, if we throw a temper tantrum, it's just like a bolt of lightning came out of the sky, levels an entire trailer park, and we're over it. You know, it's like, wow, boom! You know, that's the kind of change that Uranus represents. Lightning bolt. You always have to remember that. But your... falls in Libra, so you tend to want to change things to achieve balance. So the minute there is something wrong, you're able to, like, all right, reroute, do over, you know. Got it?
Okay.
And, your Neptune is in Scorpio. This is what explains your attraction to the paranormal. Neptune is a very dreamy planet. It is the planet of the dream state, dreams and wishes and, you know, kind of daydreaming stuff. And this is where your Scorpio comes in. And like I said, Scorpio is the sign, its keynote is sex, because it's rooted in the very, it's the root chakra is what is the controlling chakra over Scorpio. And, so it's all about sex, but sex also means bringing in life, okay? So it's giving birth to things, whether it's ideas as well as people and stuff. Yours being Neptune in Scorpio says you have a deeply committed to the study of metaphysical and even mediumistic subjects. So that's where you're seeing that whole paranormal thing come in, okay? And it makes you good at it, too.
When I get to do it.
Yeah. And then you have Pluto in Virgo. Now, Pluto, that's a little guy, that little planet all the way out there. And he kind of governs over the whole things having to deal with the subject, which is not too fun, but death.
Why isn't that fun?
Well, you know, if I owed the IRS $60,000 and it was death, would be like, that's a great option, you know? That's fun.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Yeah. But your Pluto is in Virgo. And therefore, you have a very pragmatic approach to death. You're someone who would be more like, okay, I'm going to just set up my will, have everything in, I have all my instructions as to how I want my funeral, what I want done with my body, if I want to be cremated. You're like, you would be very detailed and very pragmatic in your, you know, like the death doesn't really scare you. The concept of it doesn't bother you, it doesn't scare you. Because you're very logical about it. You're just like, I will just have everything taken care of and put in its place. And you know what? When it happens, it happens. So that's, you know. Now. Okay. I'm not going to go over the midheaven because it's a pretty lame-ass explanation in this chart anyway. I do want to do the, the North Node and South Node are critical. North Node and South Node, your nodes determine your karmic lessons in astrology. And by that, I mean anything that was a lesson in your previous life, you're going to bring with you into this life. Now, the North Node means that's your good karma lessons. That's something that you really worked out and you had brought with you, like you really know how to work this, and you brought it with you into this life to work it to your advantage. Your South Node represents the karma that you really need to figure out now, because it's something that you picture going south. It's gone bad. It's not too good. It's something that you've brought with you that you really need to face and deal with in this lifetime to not have it be a karmic issue anymore. So your North Node is in Aries in the second house. Now, the second house governs material security. Well, you know, it's interesting. And your South Node is in the 8th house. So here you have 2nd house and 8th house. Both of those are under the heading of security issues. You know, the 8th house, that's under sexual and emotional and soul level security that you need. And your 2nd house is your material security. You know, like where you live, how much money you make, and what car you drive. So your North Node is in Aries with the 2nd house. So you're someone, you know, with the karma you brought in, you've brought in good karma in terms of, like, you know how to be direct. You know, you really know how to, like, be truthful, to be honest. Because Aries, the one reason an Aries person is very honest is because they're always in a hurry. And it takes too long to lie. And the truth is direct. The truth is the shortest distance between two points as far as an Aries is concerned. So in this life, you brought forth some good karma in knowing how to be direct, how to be honest, and to get things done quickly. You like to get things done quickly. And then you see your second house influence that it falls in. That means you also know how to make some money quickly. You may not be living like a Rockefeller, but you know what? If something hits the fan, you know how to jump through hoops fast enough to make that money quickly enough to cover yourself. You're pretty good at, you know.
I know how to stay on the corner.
Yeah, you know, pull a rabbit out of your butt, as I use the expression.
Out of my anus?
Yes, out of your anus. Now, your South Node is in Scorpio in the 8th house. So here we have, which is interesting, you've got the 8th house governing the sex and emotional and soul level security needs, and you have Scorpio, which is the sexual relationship karma that you've brought with you. This is something that in this life, it's a key thing you need to work on. It's a lesson that you need to sort out. Your sexual relationship karma.
Okay.
Switch the past year or two.
Or three.
Yeah, haven't really been addressing this issue or this lesson. So, and I know why now, seeing the eighth house, it's like you're in this conflict. Part of you is like, but I need to be in a relationship. I need to have sex with someone, you know, besides Palmina and Festina. And no offense, but, you know. Yet, you know, the eighth house thing is saying, but I don't want to do it unless I feel secure, unless I know we really connect on a soul level. So you have that struggle going on.
Okay.
And again, with all the Libra influence of you really needing to have that over the moon, heart, soul, body, mind, spirit, ecstasy, connection thing, it's like, you've got a lot of pressure on you, dude. So, here's the thing. You're going to have to, like, get out of your comfort zone, meet women, date them, and bond with them, and start to have sex with them. And feel secure while you're doing it so you can eradicate the self-node lesson. Okay?
Okay.
There you go. There's your chart. Feel free to read through it at your leisure.
Thank you.
So, people, if you send in a PowerShare, you can have that. Of course, we won't do your chart on the show, but I would be happy to send you my handwritten notes. And time to go
10 PowerShares.
Yes, 10 PowerShares.
You said if you send in a PowerShare.
I'll send in a PowerShare multiplied by 10. Sorry. But anyway, so there you go. So make sure you do that, and you will get a natal chart, and I will sit down and go over it with you. And Right. What do you think, Brian?
Very good.
It's insightful, right? There's more stuff to read through. And like I said, a natal chart is only the blueprint of your life at the time you were born. That's how everything was set up in the planetary alignment, and those energies impact you. But the deal is, as a human being, you are gifted free will. So what you're out, the blueprint, it doesn't mean that's it. You know, I'm stuck with this. It means this is your personality. These are some traits. These are some influences that you have. But you can change them. Just like I was telling Brian about, you know, how to get the karmic lesson on the South Node. Now he knows, he can change it.
I'm just waiting for, like, where's the bad news in all this? There was really no bad news.
Oh, no, it's not about good news and bad news. Really is just a blueprint, and it gives you some idea of, like, well, these are areas I need to work on. Or, like with me. I know I don't have in the second house a Jupiter transit. If you have a Jupiter transit, man, in your second house, go buy a lotto ticket. You are so freaking lucky. You will win. You will make money like hand over fist. I do not have that. So will I ever play the pick six? Uh-uh. If it's like $6 million, I may squeak out of George or whatever, you know, and go get one ticket. But I know.
$6
million? Or whatever. You know, however they go up in millions and billions and billions and billions.
Well, usually hit it when some start playing with over $100 million.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be an astronomical amount, and I still know I'll lose because it's not in my chart. But that's okay, you know, that's something I can't change, but at least something I can accept, and I don't go out wasting money on lotto tickets knowing I'm not going to win. Then there are other things in my chart that I can say, well, you know what, I do have this tendency to do this, that, and the other, and I need to control, I need to look at that or work on that, and that's what a natal chart helps you do. It's just a blueprint.
Okay. Cool.
Shall we move on to cemetery hunts?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Cemetery hunts will be on Saturday nights this year. You will meet and sign in at 9 p.m. and hunt till 10:30 p.m. You must be a member of the NJGHS in order to participate in these hunts. Lifetime membership is available for only $20 on our homepage via PayPal. You cannot pay for membership at the cemetery hunt, people, so don't do that. It must be done ahead of time. New members, heads up, you must complete 2 cemetery hunts in order to participate on a private investigative team. Now, cancellations of these dates are possible given inclement weather conditions. Please keep an eye on this site for last-minute updates, or better still, join our Yahoo groups, which is the NJGHS Yahoo group, to have the info blasted into your email inbox. Here are the dates so far. Well, these are the ones we have. May 17th is to be determined. May 31st is the PeaQuest Union Cemetery in Independence, New Jersey by Dina. Well, Dina's leading that. June 7th, Bayview Cemetery, Leonardo, New Jersey, Gregory and Sherry Irish. June 14th, Mount Olivet, Red Bank, New Jersey, Greg and Sherry. June 21st, Presbyterian Church Cemetery, Westfield, New Jersey, moi. And June 28th, Union Cemetery, Hackettstown, Dina. July 12th, Rose Hill Cemetery, Mattawan, New Jersey, Greg and Sherry. July 19th, Connecticut Farms, Union, New Jersey. Me. And, excuse me, July 26th. These allergies are killing me. Washington Cemetery, Washington, New Jersey. Warren County, hang on.
That would be with Dina.
Thank you. August 2nd, Princeton Cemetery, Princeton, New Jersey, Gregory and Sherry. August 9th, Bayview Cemetery in Leonardo, that's Greg and Sherry. August 16th, Mount Olivet in Red Bank, Greg and Sherry. August 23rd is to be determined. And I think that's it. I don't know if we have the one in September. Oh, the one in September, Dina was going to take the first one in September. But she hasn't figured out what cemetery that's going to be
actually,
yet.
Actually, it would be August 30th at the Rose Hill Cemetery with Greg and Sherry. And September 6th to be determined on the first one that you first show.
Oh, I didn't copy and paste the whole thing?
No.
Ooh. Squeeze me. Okay. So anyway, all these cemetery hunts are on the homepage, so you can check them out there. And I guess we might as well go on to meeting announcements.
Might as well finish it up.
Yeah, what the hell. All right, meeting announcements, all two of them. Central Jersey Division is on May 7th in the Hazlitt Library, located conveniently at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt, New Jersey. That's headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish. The North Jersey meeting is going to be on May 20th. That's at the Hackettstown Community Center, located at 293 Main Street. And the topic is mediums, just another tool for the investigator or never to be used. Both meetings start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. and are free and open to the public to attend. Don't forget to bring your suspicious photographs and recordings for the Share and Scare segment of every meeting to have it reviewed. Thanks again, and make sure you check out those announcements. They're right on our homepage, so you can get all. And there's even a clickable thing for the meetings to click on it to get to MapQuest to get directions if you haven't been to one of our meetings before. The meetings are free and open to the public to attend, so if you're not sure if you want to be a member of this organization, just go to a meeting and find out for sure. Right, Bri?
Absolutely. I'm still
okay.
Here.
Yeah, after all this time. All right. Oh, speaking of time, but we'll get to that. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits!
Oh yeah, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive-time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostandemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. This is the part of our show where if you've had a paranormal experience or even a ghost encounter and you want to share it, yep, parashare it to thedeadline@njghs.net. That's right. Send your story in an email. Now get this. If you send in one story and you're not a member and you want to be a member, boom, there you go. You get one credit. Bam. Now you're a member of the NJGHS. However, if you'd like to save up to 10 credits, you'd get a natal chart, just like what we did for Brian. That's a $75 value, so we'll keep track of your parashares, let you know when you hit 10, and then you can send me your birth date, birth time, and birthplace, and I will send you a full-color natal chart with printout and my handwritten notes, too. So, we do have a parashare this week.
Really?
Actually, two of them.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Pay no attention to that one statement I forgot to delete. Pay no attention to that man behind the corner. Curtain it was, yes. The Wizard of Oz. Anyway, says, hi, Laura and Brian. This is a parashare from my 11-year-old daughter. I am not going to edit anything that she wrote, so remember this is the grammar of a fifth grader. Also, please send membership to her. She was really looking forward to this, Joe Leone. Well, Joe, definitely I'm going to send her membership. And I think I just went through and just changed a couple little things grammatically, only because I needed to be able to read it, you know. Yeah. So people, so it,
hopefully
you can understand
the word
it.
Evangelist isn't in there.
I know. Says, dear New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, my name is JC. I am 11 years old, and I am going to tell you about an experience one of my great-grandparents had. My great-grandpa, Wes, will be sitting in his chair, and he tells us that he heard footsteps walking. Another one of the things that happened is in the middle of the night, my great-grandma and my great-grandpa will both be asleep, and all of a sudden, they will hear noises that are coming from the kitchen. The noises that are coming from the kitchen are the sink running and the doors opening. But whether either one of them happen, we know that one thing is for sure, they have a ghost. Sincerely, JC Leone. Well, JC, thank you so much for taking the time to write that out. And yes, I will be sending you membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And if I still have a Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt in stock, I will send you that as well, because I really appreciate the fact that your father is so into this and takes time to send parashares and that you're on board with it too, so that's really awesome. So I will look for that shirt and see if I find one, and I will send it to you. If not, at least I'll send you a bumper sticker along with the membership, okay? All right, next we have another parashare. Now this is from her dad, Joe Leone in Florida. It says, hi, Laura and Brian. Okay, the prior parashare was the one I promised my daughter I would send for her. Here is the one that happened to my wife just recently. I guess he meant to him and his wife recently.
Oh, no, he says...
It says to my wife just recently, so, but anyway. It says, my wife and I are in the middle of finding a house to purchase. This will be our first house, so we are both quite excited. Recently, the realtor took us to a beautiful tri-level house. This house was very nice and fairly old, as the appliances in the kitchen looked like the original models added to the house when it was first built in the 1960s. Prior to going to the house, the realtor informed us that this was an estate sale and that the heirs were looking to offload it rather quickly, hence the low price tag. After we went to the house, my wife, daughter, and I were sitting in our SUV discussing the likes and dislikes of the house. My wife informed us that the house was haunted. She said that as she was wandering around the house, she felt she had what felt like a little old lady poking her behind her ear. She said it felt as though the lady was still there and was not happy about having outsiders in her house and was trying to tell my wife to leave. Needless to say, we are still house hunting. Yeah, I would be too. Now I see what he meant by happened to his wife. So the three of them were there, but yes, she only had the sensation of being poked behind the ear. Oh, God. And if that's just when you're there looking at the place, can you imagine when you move in how bad it would escalate to? So, yeah, good move on finding a different house. And good luck to you guys. That's exciting. So I wish you the best. Now is a buyer's market with everything else going wrong. So there you go, guys. Good luck. And we're looking forward to sending out that membership to little JC. And we're going to take a quick break.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is Intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP.
The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Hey, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Last week's Haunted Trivia asked, what is the name of the B&B in Mystic, Connecticut that has the ghost of the vengeful wife? The answer, the Red Brook Inn. Okay. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of quasi-challenging. A haunting violin is heard playing, a blood stain on the floor that repeatedly shows up no matter how much it is cleaned. This inn has its share of spirits, including the ghost horse who roams the south lawn, still waiting for his rider who died from a fatal bullet during the Civil War. Located in Abingdon, Virginia, what is the name of this inn? Be the first person to send the correct answer to hauntedtrivia at njghs.net, and you will win whatever book I decide to send you from our paranormal library. How about that?
Our massive library.
Yes. I got to remind people to sign up for the Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse Dinner Investigation. It's taking place on August 16th. People, August 16th is the night of the full moon and a lunar eclipse. So you can't ask for a better time. You know, first of all, it's a lighthouse, so it's surrounded with water. Water conducts electricity, therefore it really helps in the manifestation of spirits. So that's why lighthouses tend to be pretty much haunted, okay? This one is haunted, too. And it's got the water element, and you're going to have the moon being full. So all that intensity, plus a lunar eclipse. I mean, I could not have picked a better night. And then we get to have dinner in this nice little harborside, whatever, fish-a-majig restaurant.
And we just have to figure out something to do on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to go to Maine and get lobster.
You could probably rent a car while you're up there.
I want my lobster. I'll even treat you to a steak. I know you don't like seafood, right?
Nope.
He who spent time in the water in the Navy does not like seafood. Oh, God. Well, what, we covered this, right? You said you would eat like some kind of flounder or tuna.
Flounder and tuna is about the only thing I'll eat. Oh, seafood.
That's good. I remember when I was a kid and we had that trip, we went over to France when I was in high school, and my one friend, Lisa, we had a hell of a flight getting over there. I mean, nothing went wrong, but it was just long. And we get in to Orly Airport, and we were stuck on our tour bus to take us to we were starting out in the French countryside in Angers. So by the time we've gone through customs and gotten on the tour bus and driven 3 hours and, you know, we finally get into our rooms and we get down to the basement, which is where they're going to feed all of us students. And they put in front of us fish for dinner.
Okay.
But it's the whole freaking fish with the head and the mouth and the eyes staring at you. Mm. Well, my friend Lisa was a snorkeler and a diver.
Right.
And she looks at it, and she's like, she pushes it away. She's like, I can't eat this. She goes, I swim with these. These are my friends. She goes, I can't eat my friend. This is disgusting. Okay, and I'm like, you know what? I put the napkin over its face and, like, stabbed it with the fork. I'm eating. I am starving at this point. And I'm like, and if you're not eating yours, I'm going to cover his face up, too. And that's what I did. I'm like, I don't care. I can't take it anymore. It's like I was getting so sick from starving for so long. But yeah, so anyway, but yeah, we'll have to go to Maine and get my lobster, get your steak.
We'll see.
Okay. And people, don't forget to sign up for the Paranormal Intensive 2008. We've got some really good workshops scheduled, some really cool presenters. Charlie Adams is coming out for this, you know.
He's always a good presenter.
Oh, he's awesome. And he's going to give a really good, his workshop on the traveling, to really give you, because I don't know if many people know this, but Charles Adams, his day job, if you will, is a travel writer.
Right.
Yeah. So he gets sent all over the world to wonderful places to inspect and report back on.
I'm curious to hear how his overseas trip went.
That's right, because last time we saw him, he was getting ready to leave.
He left almost right.
Where was he leaving? For Scotland?
No, it was like Norway or Sweden, something like
Norway.
That.
Norway, yeah. So you really get the benefit of his amazing travel knowledge, plus, you know, how much he's written about the ghosts and stuff. And he's gone over to, well, he's been to Edinburgh. He does ghost tours in Edinburgh, in Scotland, and he's done them in Ireland. And, you know, so.
Just talk to him, see when the next time he's going.
Well, he's an Irish guy, right? Yeah, Adam's Irish, yeah.
Found next time he's going, maybe that'll be one of my next trips.
Yeah. I would love to. I've been wanting, you know, I've gone to Ireland, I've gone to London. But I've never gone up to Scotland, to Edinburgh, and I was like, I want to see it. You know, that whole, like, underground, like, icky city thing, and, you know. But it would be a real hoot to go with Charlie.
Oh, I know, yeah.
God. Anyway, so make sure you sign up for the workshops. They're $25 each per person. And we have the Dinner and Spirit Circle. That's Saturday night. It's $60 per person. That's with Jane Doherty. That's from 7 to 10. That includes your dinner, tax and tip, and the Spirit Circle. So make sure you stay tuned to the website, njghs.net, and sign up for the NJGHS Yahoo groups to get the latest info. Blast it into your email box. Okay. So, thanks always to the wonderful tech guru and producer of the show of The Deadline, Brian Sant.
Hail to the king.
Our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, Dina Trico and Laura Lindemann. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.